Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. The one we are here to worship. Not only worshiping here today, but we trust our worshiping in our daily lives. For our meditation this morning, I'd like to think about magnifying Christ in our daily lives. Magnifying Christ in our daily lives. As a people of God, a children of His here this morning, we stop and ponder and think of all that Christ has done for us. And I trust that we have chosen to be followers of His, disciples of His. With that comes a privilege and a responsibility to show the world and to live a life that will draw others to Him. So we think about magnifying something. We're all very familiar with a magnifying glass. We know what a magnifying glass does. Sometimes I get emails, and we print them out, and the print is so small that I can't read it. You almost have to get a magnifying glass. A magnifying glass just takes those words and enlarges them that you can see them. If you think about magnifying Christ, can the world see Jesus as they look at your life? Are you faithful in the spiritual strife? In word, in spirit, in faith, in charity? Can the world see Jesus as they look at me? As followers of Jesus Christ here this morning, are you an example of who Jesus is? In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, we are told that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. And we believe that they were given that title because of their walk of life. People were taught of Jesus, their Savior. They were taught of Jesus, this God-man who had come to earth and walked among men in perfection, who had brought heaven to earth, and now they were followers of His. He was no longer there. And apparently their lives so mirrored the life of Christ that they were called Christians at Antioch. And the burden of our consideration this morning is that there will continue to be individuals and there will continue to be groups of individuals who will so well mirror the life of Christ that they will be worthy of being called Christians. Followers of Jesus Christ. Not to bring attention to ourselves, not to bring attention to our particular way of life, but to bring focus and attention to Christ our Savior and lead other souls to Him. It's our burden and concern that we as individuals carry that torch, that we as families carry that torch, that we as congregations carry that torch of magnifying Christ in our daily lives. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. We are followers of the Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. We are followers of the Lord Jesus. Are we walking in that way? There's an indication of it in our daily lives. So look across the congregation here this morning. You look like a group of godly people. You look like a group of people who are wanting to follow the Lord Jesus. How about tomorrow and the next day and next week and next month? Will you be mirroring the life of Christ? Will you be giving indication that you are followers of Him in your daily life? The verse of that song we quoted, "Can the World See Jesus?" Can your companion see Jesus in your life? Can your children see Jesus in your life? Does your community see Jesus in your lives? Do your work associates see Jesus in your lives? Are you magnifying Christ in your daily life? Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Crucified with Christ. This old man has been crucified. I am serving a Savior, and I want to testify of him in my daily life. John chapter 3 and verse 30, the words of John, he must increase, I must decrease. If we're going to magnify Christ in our daily lives, it's going to be because of less of me and more of him. That's the only way he can be magnified. When we live a life for self, attention all goes to me. If we live a life for Christ, we want the glory to go to him. We want the focus to be on him, and we will magnify him. The vine and branch chapter, very closely connected to our Sunday school lesson this morning. I'd like to read a number of verses from John chapter 15. So important this morning that we're going to magnify Christ, that we are connected to the vine. I thought I had my glasses this morning, and I have a hard time reading. Maybe I left them laid back on the bench. Did I? There they are. Could you bring them up for me, brother? They're pretty important to me. Magnifying glasses, right? Thank you. I was sure I stuck them in my pocket this morning. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. It is God's desire this morning that each one of us bear fruit to his honor and glory, but we cannot bear fruit for him unless we are connected to the branch. Are you connected to Christ this morning? The only way we can magnify Christ in our daily lives is if we are truly connected to him. That we have that life-giving support flowing into we the branches from the vine. Now go with me to Philippians chapter 1. So we're able to find our text verse this morning. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20 is the verse that has this quote in it about magnifying Christ. Philippians 1 verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness all as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. I'd like to read some of the surrounding verses here. I'd like to read that first of all there to give us a direction as where our focus is. Philippians chapter 1, I'd like to start reading at verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We'll just continue reading there. In verse 11, it talks about being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, and all that is for the glory and praise of God. This morning, is your life bearing the fruits of righteousness through Jesus Christ? If it is, you will be magnifying Christ in your daily living. He will be exemplified. He will be noticed by those with whom you come in contact. It will also be a testimony of your life that because of your faithfulness and you exemplifying Christ in your life, others will be waxing more boldly, as we saw in verse 14. The Apostle Paul was rejoicing that many of the brethren in the Lord were waxing confident by his bonds as they witnessed his willingness to be imprisoned and persecuted for his Savior, for Jesus. He realized that he was magnifying Christ in his life by being willing to be put in bonds and imprisonment, and that others, as they observed his faithfulness and his willingness to go to prison and take whatever it was, stand up to the cost of whatever it may be in his personal experience, it produced boldness in the part of others. And as we magnify Christ, exemplify Christ in our daily lives, it should embolden others to live faithfully for him and live lives that will magnify him in their daily lives. And so the cause of Christ can spread and build and be manifest to the world that we find ourselves in. Filled with all the fruits of righteousness, magnifying Christ, whether it be, as it says in verse 21, through life or through death. I believe the Apostle Paul was committed that if Christ would be more magnified and his cause would be further enhanced by him needing to give his life, so be it, that the cause of Christ would go forth and Christ would be magnified in his life, even if it would be through death. But as Christ would give him life, God would give him life, Christ would be magnified. Just five quick points this morning we'd like to look at, ways that we can magnify Christ or things that are required if we are going to magnify Christ in our daily lives. Point number one, it will require a life of self-denial. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 5 through 7. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. First of all, a life of self-denial. We need to follow the example of our Lord Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He had a mind of servanthood, a willingness to come, leave the glories of heaven, come to this sin-cursed world, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. A life of self-denial. What an example Jesus has been to us to follow. If we're going to mirror Christ in our daily lives, it's going to be through a life of self-denial. Luke chapter 22, verse 42, the words of Christ, where he surrendered his will to the will of the Father as he faced the cross. Father, if thou wilt, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as thou wilt, as I will, but as thou wilt. He surrendered his will to the will of the Father. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, singular. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. If you're risen with Christ, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, you're going to need to continue. I trust you already are setting your affection, your singular affection is on Jesus Christ. A life of self-denial. It's about Jesus this morning. The life that you're living as a child and disciple of God, of Jesus Christ, is about serving him, not ourselves. A life of self-denial. Setting our affection on those heavenly things, spiritual things, because we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. It's so important this morning, if we're going to let our light shine for Jesus, if we're going to magnify him, that we are living a life of self-denial. Secondly, if we're going to magnify Christ, we're going to have to walk in love. Walk in love, even as Christ did. Backing up just a few pages, if you're still there in Philippians, to Ephesians chapter 1. Christ, our example of love and walking in love. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. How much did Christ love you? How much did Christ love the world? God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Jesus so loved the world that he was willing to give his life. He gave his life for the sins of all the world. And let's make it personal this morning. He gave his life for my sins. He gave his life for your sins. God so loved. Jesus so loved. And now we are called to be his followers and to love as he loved. If we're going to magnify Christ, truly magnify Christ in our daily lives, it's only going to be if we have his love in our heart and it is shed abroad to those with whom we live, those with whom we work, those that God brings into our lives. That's the only way that we can magnify him. But it is a way that we can do it. It's a privilege that we have. Do you have Christ's love in your heart? Can men and women see as they rub shoulders with you that here is a person? And the better they learn to know you, the more of Jesus' love they see revealed in your actions, your words, and the way you relate. The love of Jesus. Telling you this morning, it's a powerful way of magnifying Christ is to have his love. And it's the only way, but it's a powerful way. If you have Christ's love in your heart, it will show to those with whom you come in contact. Backing up to chapter 3 in Ephesians, verses 17 through 19. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Especially that there little phrase in verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. I would like to explain to you and help you to understand fully the love of Christ, but humanly we can't. But we do well to ponder it, We do well to meditate upon it. We do well to try to grow in our understanding and our knowledge of the depth of the love of Christ. We're glad this morning that we can experience it. But it is beyond comprehension. It's beyond knowledge. It's beyond human knowledge. You know, let's continue to meditate on it and ponder it. And I don't think it'll be till we're finally there in glory with Christ that we'll have a full understanding of the great extent of Christ's love. But we are called to love as He loved. And that's a lifelong responsibility, opportunity, and privilege that we have. Magnifying Christ by showing His love. We could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. Maybe we'll just pick up a few comments from that. I don't think we'll read the chapter. But we see the important place that love fills in the heart and life of the child of God. There's a lot of things that we can do to try to show love. There's a lot of things that people do to show love. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. It doesn't ever fail. All the things that charity does not do, but love, as it flows from our lives, the love of Christ this morning, if you will, if it flows from our lives, Christ's love, it will magnify Him. Because we don't have that love in our own strength, in our own achievements. You know, we have various temperaments. There's some people that seem to be naturally more lovely than others. But to have the love of Christ is imparted from God to us as we die to self and allow Christ to come into our lives. It's only then that the love of Christ can enter. And the genuine love can flow from our lives. So if you want to magnify Christ in your life, in your daily life, you're going to need the love of Christ in your hearts. Third thing this morning, magnifying Christ in our daily lives, we need to be filled with compassion. Good way to magnify Christ is to have the compassion of Christ. Matthew 9, verse 36. And we see this all through the Gospels. This simple phrase, and seeing the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. Again and again, that phrase is in the Gospels. As Jesus was here during His short earthly stay, He would look out across and see the multitudes of people, and it would say again and again, and seeing the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. What does it take to move your heart and to move give you a burden for other people? It would take us right back to our previous point, the love of Christ. It was the love of Christ, the love He had in His heart. It was His mission that He came into the world to fulfill that caused Him to be filled with compassion. We need to be men and women of God who are filled with compassion. If we're filled with the compassion of Christ for needy people, for struggling, other struggling Christians, compassion. If we have that compassion, we will be able to magnify Christ because we will lead them to Him. Matthew chapter 20, verse 34, we have two blind men. And when Jesus saw them, He had compassion on them. He took time for them, healed them of their eye disease. He looked out over Jerusalem and He wept. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft will I have gathered thee as a hen gathereth her chicks, but you would not. And as we reflect on a few short passages like that of the life of Christ? Can we sense his compassion? And the question this morning is, are we men and women of compassion? Do you have a heart for people? Jesus did not have the attitude, you created your own bed, now sleep in it. That wasn't the heart of Jesus. And it's too easy for us to sometimes feel that way. You got yourself into your mess, now just fix it yourself. That's not how the child of God feels about people. We have hearts that are filled with compassion as we have the love of Christ. And what I believe helps us to stay focused is if we just constantly realize what Christ has spared us from, what he has spared me from personally. And it should so move us that if God and Christ can in any way use each one of us to touch the heart of another one, we want to be there and be willing to do that. Have his compassion. Magnify Christ through compassion. Be sensitive. Are you sensitive people here this morning? And not just this morning, but tomorrow. And you know, the Holy Spirit lays it on our heart by times of an individual. We don't always know why, but I believe sometimes, or maybe always, it's because the Holy Spirit lays it on our mind. Our thoughts go to someone who is needy, who may be struggling, whatever it might be, their need might be. God lays it on our heart. I believe the Holy Spirit lays it on our heart. Respond to those wooings and show compassion. Magnify Christ. Lead other people to a closer walk with him. Our fourth point this morning, if we're going to magnify Christ in our daily lives, it's going to be through a forgiving spirit. It's only going to be possible as we have a forgiving spirit. Luke chapter 23, again, Christ is our example. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus spoke those words as he was dying on the cross. He was at the mercy of a cruel, mad crowd, and yet he had a heart of forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We need to have that same forgiving spirit. And as we show that same forgiving spirit, we will magnify Christ. Because if life is all about me and someone offends me, I will not forgive them. But if life is all about serving God and living for Jesus and magnifying his life, not magnifying me, magnifying his life, and someone trespasses against me and someone offends me, I'll forgive them. I will not let it stand between our relationship. And if I would allow it to stand between our relationship or hinder our relationship, forget magnifying Christ. It won't happen. But if we forgive, we can then in turn magnify Christ and encourage others to have a forgiving spirit. The words we have right there in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Recognizing that our forgiveness with God is dependent on how we forgive our fellow man. Our fifth point, humility. Magnifying Christ is only possible through a life of humility. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Humility, so important as we live a life of humility that we can exalt Christ. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Submit yourselves one to another. Younger to the elder, all of you. No one is excluded here this morning. As followers of Jesus Christ, we submit ourselves first of all to God, first of all to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and then to one another in a faithful Christian brotherhood. No man is an island in himself. We are so dependent on each other. We need the help and support of each other. We need the wise direction of each other. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. We have a lot of instruction about submitting in the scriptures. And it's because God knows the tendency of each one of us is to wander, to go in our own way, and to have individualistic thoughts and ways of living. And he so beautifully has provided brotherhood, fellow Christians, and he brings into our lives. But we need to submit. We need to submit to each other and grow in our love and appreciation for the brotherhood. Humility. The show of humility will greatly aid us in magnifying Christ. First of all, submitting to him and then to one another. John 4, verse 6. That's James 4, verse 6, I'm sorry. James 4 and verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verses 6 and 7 there. The importance, necessity of humility, the exclusion of pride. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Our final point, the sixth point this morning, is seeking the lost. We're going to magnify Christ in our daily lives. We're going to need to involve ourselves and have a burden for the lost around us. Matthew chapter 18, verse 11, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, that which was lost. It was the mission of our Lord Jesus in coming into this earth. And we are his ambassadors. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, the Apostle Paul admonishes us. And we want to be his faithful ambassadors this morning. If we're going to magnify Christ in our daily lives, we need a burden for the lost. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Ambassadors for him. Witnesses for him. Wherever we go, into whom it's ever presence we come, we want to be faithful witnesses for him. Sharing the compassion and love of Christ, and thereby magnifying him. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This morning we need to recognize, as was already alluded to, of what Jesus has saved us from. The Apostle Paul felt that he was the chiefest of sinners. And he was a sinner. The Apostle Paul was a sinner. But so were each one of us. We were a lost sinner apart from Jesus Christ and apart from God until Jesus came into our life. And we confessed him. We confessed our sins. We confessed Jesus Christ and our need for him. and he has made a difference in our lives, and that compels us to go out and testify for him and be a witness to the lost and needy ones around us. So the challenge I'd like to leave with each one of us here this morning is that we would be mindful of our responsibility, our privilege, to be magnifying Christ in our daily lives. Can the world see Jesus as they look at your life? Can your companions see Jesus as they look at your daily life? Can the youth in your home see Jesus as they look at your life? Can your children see Jesus as they look at your life? Can your neighbors see more and more of Jesus as they witness your life? Can your fellow employees see more and more of Jesus as they witness your life? And on the list of people go that God brings into your life. Let's sense our responsibility to magnify Christ to everyone whom we meet, to everyone that God brings into our lives. That the more they learn to know you, the more they see Jesus, the more they see God, the more they see godly living, and the focus is turned heavenward. That's what we're here for. That's what God wants to use us in. May God bless you as you're faithful in that responsibility.